27 minutes before the top of the hour here on Downtown. Why, you ask, are we on the crazy train? Well, you'll find out in just a few moments as we welcome back to the show our friend Sean Lash from Amera Astronomy Center at the University of Maine. Sean, welcome.
Good to be back.
We're kicking off the shortest month of the year, but one of the busiest months of the year up at Amera Astronomy Center. You got a lot going on.
Yeah, we have a bunch of fun stuff. Of course, you know, my wife always says I'm crazy, but that's a whole other story. But the crazy train bit, this month's music show is going to be Ozzy Osbourne, Satellites. And one of our grad students has been working on that, and it includes a number of hits, of course, Crazy Train, Bark at the Moon, things like that, focusing on his solo career, but also some songs from the new album, Ordinary Man. And I guess he has a, as I understand it, a duet with Elton John.
Oh, really?
Supposed to be kind of interesting. So, yeah, it should be a fun show. And if you're an Ozzy Osbourne fan, definitely something to come out for.
Yeah, and that's Friday nights at 9 o'clock.
Friday nights at 9. Then, of course, our 7 o'clock show is a program called To Space and Back, which looks at the benefits of space technology that we use in our everyday lives. We'll explore, of course, a variety of different ways that technology that, you know, started off in the space program now has sort of made its way into things that we use. Everything from a variety of materials that have been developed for things like fire-resistant materials, to helmets that protect folks from impacts, to things that are used in, of course, surgery, and even things like satellite communication, which allow us to have cell phones and GPS and a whole variety of things.
That's terrific. Also, your Sunday program, every Sunday in the afternoon, Secrets of the Cardboard Rocket.
Yeah, that's a fun children's program where they take a tour of each of the planets in the solar system. They travel to it in a cardboard rocket and get to learn all about it. And it's a lot of fun. And of course, we have special programming coming up for the K-12 break as well. Every day at 2, we'll have a variety of different shows, changing out titles each day and giving folks a chance to check out some of our fun, you know, family programs.
And you were telling us before we went on here that January was a big and busy month.
Yeah, it was really incredible. On 4 of the 5 Friday nights in January, we sold out our 7 o'clock show, added an 8 o'clock. And most of the time, those were more than half full. And actually, this past Friday, we sold out both the 7 and the 8 o'clock public shows, and our music show sold up. So we ended up adding a second one then, too. So, yeah, it's been a busy month. People really seem to enjoy the Aurora show. I've had a few folks say, oh, when's that show going to be back? We are going to be running it on the Sunday of the Maine Science Festival, which I believe is the 22nd of March, if that Sunday is correct. But we'll be running it then, and we'll have it in our library for special events and things like that.
Yes. Carrie, did I see you went up to a show?
Yes, I saw the Aurora show Friday evening. My wife and I went. It was a very, very good show. So if you have a chance to check it in March when you're redoing it, I highly recommend people do that.
Yeah, it's a fun show. And this past Friday night, one of our students, who's a really big Iceland buff, wanted to do the show, and that program, actually, it's the first time it's shown outside of Iceland. It was created there. Wow. I happen to have a couple connections through my International Planetarium Society, so I was able to pull it into our facility. But it's a really well-done program, so it was a lot of fun.
Sean Lash with us from Amera Astronomy Center. A lot of things to talk about that are going on, some celebrations, too. It's hard to believe we're looking at the 30th anniversary of Voyager 1's look back at Earth, at the pale blue dot.
Yeah, that's really a major event, you know, and it's one of the fun things in one of the shows that we did this past December, which is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I always like to sort of finish up that show with a little clip of Pale Blue Dot and Carl Sagan talking about, you know, that's here, that's us, that's everyone you've ever known. And it was really amazing to have Voyager swing back, because that wasn't in the original plan. But Sagan had the, you know, sort of the fortitude of thought to say, hey, we should do this when Voyager 1, you know, was well out about just past Neptune, and turn around, look at the Earth, and it was a single blue pixel in a sunbeam at the time, which is really amazing. But it really does change one's perspective to see Earth in that way. And yeah, the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, will be that pale blue dot sort of celebration.
And I when I think of that, I think of the photos that were taken from Apollo 8, the Earthrise photo in 1968, right, which was a reminder at the time that, hey, you know, we're all we're all floating around on this blue marble together. And then the pale blue dot is also, I think, a reminder that we're just a small part of what's out there and relatively insignificant in the big picture.
Yeah, a tiny speck in the cosmic ocean, as Carl Sagan used to say. He had a really great way of, sort of summing up and putting these things into perspective, really in a way that no one since has really been able to, I must say.
Absolutely. And did I see that they're working on perhaps another season of Cosmos?
I believe there is another one in progress right now with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Mm-hmm. So I think that is currently in progress. And yeah, so
I sure hope so, because I love the Carl Sagan version. Mm-hmm. You're up with that. But anytime you've got that kind of programming on, I want to be there. I want to see it. This month, too, up in the skies, among other things, if the weather cooperates later in the week, maybe our best viewing of Mercury in a while?
Yeah, Mercury and Venus. Venus right now, of course, has been gaining in height over the last month or two in our night sky, and will continue to do so. But Mercury is going to reach greatest elongation towards the 10th or so of this month, and that's when it will be at its farthest point above the horizon, so a good chance to look for it in our evening sky near Venus. Those two will be a nice sight. Mercury, often called the elusive planet because it never gets very high above our horizon because it orbits so close to the sun. It is one of the more challenging planets to see. You have to have a good sort of southwestern horizon, for evening viewing, right, which is what we'll be doing this month to be able to catch it.
And I was reading, and I guess this surprised me, at around the end of the month, it may be possible with your backyard telescope, or maybe even with binoculars, if the skies are clear, to get a glimpse of Uranus.
Yeah, so Uranus technically is a planet that's visible to the unaided eye, but it's right at the limit. So it is something that through a telescope or binoculars, you will get sort of that distinct greenish-blue color, too, which is kind of fun.
That's fantastic. So it's going to be busy times here ahead for the month. Again, Friday nights to Space and Back at 7 o'clock. The music show featuring Ozzy Osbourne, Fridays at 9. Sunday, Secrets of the Cardboard Rocket. And then great school vacation programming. And you said those start most vacation days at 2 p.m.?
Yeah, they'll be they start on the 18th, which is a Tuesday. The Monday is the holiday, which we will be closed for. But then Tuesday through Friday, we'll have them every day at 2 and a different program each day.
Oh, that's awesome. And you've got a little travel coming up for yourself, right?
Yeah, I'm headed off to Japan for the International Planetarium Society, my final officer's meeting. I've been an officer for going on 25 years now, and wow. 18 years as treasurer, and then the last six sort of doing the presidential term. But I'm finishing up at the end of this calendar year, so I have my final officer meeting, which is going to be in Tokyo, and I get to meet with National Astronomical Observatory of Japan, as well as some of the planetarium folks in Japan, and look at astronomy education there, and also the IAU Office of Astronomy Development, which is working with a variety of countries on developing astronomy and astronomy education. So it should be real nice.
Where are we in America? Have we made progress in astronomy education?
Well, yeah, I think we have. The development side, and that is looking at ways that astronomy can actually be used to help with sort of economic development. South Africa had an example of this, where they put in, in the midst of putting in the Square Kilometer Array, which brought a lot of investment into South Africa, investment in new technologies. Again, it is one of those things that astronomy tends to drive technology, astronomy and spaceflight. So most folks don't realize that the reason they have a camera in their cell phone is something called a CCD, a charge coupling device, which was originally developed for astronomy purposes and then made its way down where the rest of us use it. So the IAU, which International Astronomical Union, has been looking at developing nations and looking at ways to do astronomy investment there in education and also for economic development. But here in the US, we've been quite advanced for some years, and we continue to be in the top tier, you might say. But it is one of those things that trying to broaden the world as a whole to work more on that.
How crowded is it up there above the stratosphere? How many things are flying around right now in our orbit, approximately?
Too many. There is about 2,200 active satellites, and then there are thousands of pieces of space junk. Mm. NASA Goddard office tracks things that are the size of a baseball and smaller, typically, because you don't want to impact those. They can cause issues. And, of course, recently you've probably been hearing about SpaceX launching these satellite clusters or constellations, as they call them, which is really a bad name for them for a variety of reasons. But they're actually starting to become an issue in terms of observational astronomy. And IAU and some other groups have put out some statements about it, because if we have too many satellites up there, they can actually interfere with astronomical observations, which is a problem.
Wow. Interesting stuff, as always. Sean, we thank you for stopping in. Travel safely, and we'll visit with you when you get back.
Sounds good.
Sean Lash from the Mara Astronomy Center at the University of Maine.